Appreciate that song. It's not in the past tense. I used to serve an amazing God. I still serve an amazing God. And I'm thankful I don't serve Him by myself. I'm thankful that there's a whole lot of other folks just right in this room that still serve an amazing God. What I'd like to look at tonight... No matter how the world changes, God still has some things that are set that have never changed. There is a law of sowing and reaping that has never changed. It began with Adam and Eve when God gave them clear instruction. I am thankful that in this serving and amazing God, He doesn't put any surprises on us. We will know clearly what He's wanting from us, and then it's a choice that we have to make from that. With Adam and Eve, it wasn't something that they did not know what God wanted. It was very clear what He wanted. There is a law of sowing and reaping. I'd like for us to go to Galatians. Sometimes these are just reminders for us. Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You know, we're living in a time where even the religious world has their own opinions about what God will accept and what He won't accept. But this one says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Guaranteed. Thousands of years have passed, and this law is still in effect. If you sow it, you will reap it. There's something else that happens with the sowing and reaping. There's a verse that says, He sowed the wind. You know, we never plant one seed in a garden and say, my desire at the end of it is I'd love to get that one seed back again. We expect a bountiful harvest, or we would not have planted it. It's the same way with this. When we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption, but it's going to be a bountiful harvest. And I am thankful that to our children, as they're growing up, we don't have to just tell them, this is what the Bible says. But we can tell them, look around. You will see this happening all around. And then you can also realize you can attach your name to it if you sow to the flesh. You will of the flesh reap corruption. I was thinking of Ezekiel. There was a time where they said, your ways are not equal. And he said, my ways are equal. And he said, warn the righteous that they sin not. Warn the wicked that they turn. And he said, my ways are equal. When a wicked man, he's already got judgment pronounced on him. If he will turn from his wicked ways, and if he will repent, all that wickedness will not be remembered anymore. That is a wonderful thing that can happen. You know, it also says on the other side, turn it over. If a righteous man commits iniquity, all of the righteousness that he has done will not be remembered anymore. His ways are equal. I am thankful. This says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Many times, this is where we stop with this verse. Don't be deceived. You go out and do wrong and you're going to pay for it. That's not my message tonight. Right along in this same verse, I think we could almost back up and say it again. Don't be deceived. Goes on down here and says, he that soweth to the Spirit. Don't let the devil come along and tell you all of these efforts of living for the Lord are in vain. Because he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Just as sure as this other, you put sin in your life, you're going to reap for it. This one tries to tell me, you know what, Dan, I tell you what, you put some, what does it say? Sow into the Spirit. Dan, you put that in your life. You're going to do some reaping also. One thing is you're going to reap life everlasting. But I want to tell you, it doesn't just, we don't have any benefits until we hit the life everlasting. I want to tell you, we have a whole lot of benefits just by following it. And so here's the verse that I want us to look at tonight. Let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season, we're going to reap if we faint not. I am very thankful for that verse because it is so easy to lose focus, to be distracted and look around at some other things. In Psalms 73, this is an example of me getting weary in well-doing. When I start looking around at other things, Psalm 73, it starts out so good, the first verse does. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. I wonder what that chapter could have continued on to be if it didn't go this other direction. But as for me, my feet just almost slipped. I almost got weary in well-doing because I started looking around. I want to tell you, it's going to be so important for me to set my eyes on the goal. I'm going to make heaven my home. It does not matter what happens around me, the things that can deter me, I'm going to keep my eyes on the goal. This one says, but as for me, my feet almost slipped. Started looking at some of the things around, and you know what, it can be so easy to happen to us today. You know, over the last months, we have had many that have been on our prayer list praying for those that have been seriously ill. And the devil would like to tell us we lost the battle when they died. Oh no. This verse that we talked about, don't be deceived, God's not mocked. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. Folks, if we could just see what they reaped when they breathed their last breath. This one, he says, I looked around and it just seemed like the wicked were prospering. Seemed like there was no bands in their death. We have a lot of people that right at the last, a good Christian is still having to fight the devil. You would think he would say, okay, your last week can be glorious. I'll let you go. You can enjoy it. No, he will fight right up to the last breath because he realizes, you know what? I've got just a little time left to see if I can pull him back. But this one right here, he saw all those things and it just almost was too much for him. I am so thankful that the chapter did not end that way. It says that he did something about it. 16th verse, he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. But then he did something. It really is what we're doing here tonight. Yes. Until I went into the sanctuary, and then I understood their end. When I go into the sanctuary, then I start seeing everything starts evening out. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. All of the wicked sowing that is going on today, there will be reaping for it one day. Your sowing to the Spirit today can reap life everlasting, and I'm thankful for that. So he says, when I went into the sanctuary, things just started clearing up. Don't be weary in well-doing. We're going to reap if we faint not. I was thinking of some places where, you know, if we were able to see if God still dealt today like he did in the Old Testament, you know, he brought down judgment when someone disobeyed his command. He really did it some in the New Testament. With Ananias and Sapphira, their desire was to come into the sanctuary and look like I'm one of them. Had a plan, and somehow they forgot who God was. And God dealt with it. You know what had said happened to the church? It says great fear fell on the church. No man durst join himself right then. But you know, God has mercy today. And I want to be very thankful for that mercy that's extended to other people. But there is over in Ecclesiastes just some things that I need to recognize as I'm desiring to not be weary in well-doing. In Ecclesiastes 8 and 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, still remember sowing and reaping will come about. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know it's going to be well with them that fear God. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, I've got my eyes fixed on a goal out ahead. It's going to be well with those that serve the Lord, that fear him. I want to be able to have that in my own life. Thought about the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Many times when we use that, we focus on the rich man. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. That's this first part of be not deceived. God is not mocked. There will be sowing and reaping. But a lot of times I'll just kind of go over the other part. Lazarus, how did he make heaven his home? Does the scripture say if you are a beggar, you'll make heaven your home? You know, there's a verse that says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There are going to be events happen in my life that can cause me to become weary in well-doing. You know, he wasn't asking the rich man to let him eat the same things that he had. Said he was just desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And he didn't get them. What to say? Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You know why he made heaven his home? Because he kept his heart with all diligence. You know, he had opportunity to watch the rich man coming by, and he could have said a whole lot of things to him. He could have said these verses that we read about, you're going to reap for this sowing that you're doing right now. But I believe he made heaven his home because he committed some things to the Lord. There's another verse that says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That could have easily have happened to the beggar. And he dies hungry and goes to the same place as the rich man. But you know what he did? He kept his heart with all diligence. I want to do the same. I want to be very careful of my life. I want to be able to please the Lord with my life. I do not want to become weary in well-doing. I thought of the examples in the Bible. Daniel. He didn't pray. You know, there's a verse that says, let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. Daniel was credited with having an excellent spirit. And that credit was given to him by someone else. But I understand how he had that excellent spirit. I see that when the king that loved Daniel made a foolish decree, no one will pray to any god except me for 30 days. And then he realized why that decree had been made. What does it say? He searched all evening long. Is there some way that I can reverse this and it cannot be reversed? And so Daniel goes into the lion's den. The next morning early, we find out why Daniel had an excellent spirit. Early the next morning, the king comes. You know, Daniel could have had some things to say to him. I can't believe you were that foolish. What were you thinking anyhow? Just feeling yourself lifted up that you're going to ask people to pray to you? Who are you anyway? He could have had a lot of things to say. What did he say? Oh, king, live forever. Just keep on going, king. We're working on different tables right here. God has taken care of me. We see that happening in others. You know, these are stories that we have tonight because they kept their heart with all diligence. We have the story of Joseph that we get to read today. A young man that had a desire to live for God told us some dreams he didn't even understand himself that got him into trouble. His brother selling him, Potiphar's wife lying about him, going into prison. And he did what Jesus did. It says, when reviled, he reviled not again, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You know, it's amazing to think how many years he spent. My understanding is it was 13 years that he went from one trouble to another trouble. But I love this excellent spirit that he also had. He did not become weary in well-doing. When he was put into prison, I believe he decided maybe the first day, I'm going to be the best prisoner I can be. He had to have done it because they turned the keys over to him. If they would have watched him and said, this is one sneaking fellow right here. He is acting so good. But if we turn the keys over to him, he would get out and let everybody else out too. Nah. He somehow was able to portray to them, you can commit. He did the same thing with Potiphar. In just a little while, Potiphar recognized, because you know, Joseph should not have been a slave. He was sold by his brothers. But he is a slave. You know what? He could have so easily said, I tell you what, I'm going to make life just as hard for Potiphar as I can. But instead, he did what he could to cause production to be better. And Potiphar recognized that. And I see each place, he was not weary in well-doing. This is 2025. Lots have changed since then. But you know what? Maybe not a lot has changed. It's still a good time for us to not become weary in well-doing. Just to be able to understand, this is what the Lord desires for me to do. And I'm doing it because I love him. This is not forced on me. I'm not forced to do this if I want to make heaven. If you love me, keep my commandments. And my commandments won't be grievous when you do that. I want to be able to have that in my life. Stephen kept his heart with all diligence. He preached them quite a message and made them very upset. And they turn on him. I don't know what all that means. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But they were very angry. And they started stoning him. You know, there's something that we're going to have to take care of ahead of time. Because the storm is on now for Stephen. If there's any carnality there, it's going to be easy to pop up. Here in Oklahoma, we don't have much warning when a tornado is coming. It is better now than it used to be. I look at how they can predict this is moving at this speed. We'll warn this town. If it continues to go this direction, it'll be in your town at this minute. We have some time to prepare. But you know, in Louisiana, we had even more time than that to prepare. They could tell us 2 days out ahead, this storm system out in the Gulf is moving this direction at this speed. We expect it to make landfall in this area at this time. But you know what? People that have lived there a long time know that they could miss it just as easily as they could predict it right. Why is that? You ever get upset at the weatherman because he told you it was going to be sunshine and you planned a picnic and then it rained? There's something that I have learned about that. Don't be upset at the weatherman. Thank God for working with the weatherman. What he's doing is saying, do the best you can, and then I'm going to tweak it every once in a while to just let you know I'm in control of those things. So when the storm is predicted in Louisiana, and you've got time to work, you know, you have time to go out to Home Depot, get you some plywood. if you believe them. But you know, it could be a big waste of time if that storm moves and goes off somewhere else. So why would I do it? But you know, I never saw anybody, when the storm hit, carrying plywood to put it on. There's a time that we have a window. You know, we have a window of not being weary in well-doing. That we start building into my life, no matter what happens around me, no matter what others do, I want to be not weary in well-doing. I want to talk to you for just a little bit about a distraction that can happen to me and happen to every one of us. It's found over in 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 10 and 12. We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. You know what? It's not good for me, if I want to be not weary and well-doing, to go to comparing myself by somebody else in my own eyes. You know, I thought about Peter. Peter told Jesus, though all men deny you, I won't. And I believe he was not a hypocrite when he said it. I believe down in his heart, this is my heart to you, Jesus. I'll do this. But then he failed. But then we get to read where he went out and he wept bitterly. And then we get to see at the resurrection when Jesus says, go tell my disciples and make sure Peter knows too. Because you know, he had already said, Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith would not fail. But there is something for me to learn in this. Jesus, before he ascended, right at the last chapter of John, he comes to Peter, and three times he asks him, Peter, do you love me more than these things right here? And Peter said, I do. And then he would tell him, feed my sheep. But then he finished that up with saying, Peter, follow me. In my mind, I just have a picture of Jesus is at least going a little distance away. Peter, come with me. I want to talk to you or follow me. To me, I just think it's more than just, Lord, Peter, follow me through your life. Because it says, Peter, turning around, looked at somebody else and said, what is this man going to do? I want to tell you, that's a trick for me and for you. That I lose ground by looking around at maybe what you are doing or what I think you should be doing. I need to keep my eyes on the prize. Don't be weary in well-doing. You're going to reap if you faint not. What did Jesus tell him? Peter, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. There's a verse that tells us, lest Satan should get an advantage, because we're not ignorant of his devices. I want to not be ignorant of his device in this area. Lord, help me to keep my eyes focused on the prize. Does it mean that I don't even pray for anybody around me? No, I can send up a lot of prayers for everybody else. I want you to be faithful to death yourself. But that I would be very careful of the attitude that I get as I look around. There's a song that I saw. I can't help what others do. I must go on. Till I reach at last that bright eternal home. And none of us know what a distance it is from us to there tonight. That the Lord said he'll prepare, by his grace I'm going there. I can't help what others do. I must go on. Says, I can't help what others say that may hurt me. I'm a child of God, and I know I've been set free. Jesus' name prevails for me over all the enemy. I can't help what others say. They can't hurt me. Now that little saying right there makes me think of the verse, the little phrase that says, sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Maybe it's true for some people, but words can hurt. But what I want to think of this song right here is, I was saying that there's nothing that can hurt me, no matter what you say, what anybody says to me. No, it can hurt, but I've learned to quickly, I want to learn to quickly run to the throne of grace, yes, where there is mercy and grace to help in my time of need. Because this can be a distraction for me in my life. If I turn my focus like Peter did, he was looking at John. You know, it looked like he would have thought, this is a special time for me. Jesus has just called me by myself. Go with him. But instead, he looked around and said, "What's this man supposed to do right here? I don't want that to happen in my life." There are things that will try to distract us. I thought about Apostle Paul when he was told, when Ananias was told, go down and pray for him. He's a chosen vessel. I'm going to show him what great things he's going to suffer for my name. What does it say? Don't be weary in well-doing. You're going to reap if you faint not. We get to read the list of the things that happened to Paul. And you know what? If I get hung up on what you say about me, somebody has already mentioned in this meeting, if I run with the footmen and they wearied me, what am I going to do when the horses come? I think about Apostle Paul. You know, it says, he said, I've got one desire. My greatest desire is that Israel would be saved. And it seemed like Israel was his most bitter enemy. How would you feel if there was a band of, I think it was 40 men, that banded together and said, we will not eat or drink again until Paul is dead? Now you think, what does that say? It's not going to bother me what somebody says about me. No, it will really bother. And I just think of all the things that happened to him. The times, how many times he was stoned, he was beaten with rods. But I love it, what he says. And I'd like to go there in Acts, the 20th chapter. Because for us to have victory in our life, we're going to have something similar to this ourselves. Acts 20 and 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that befall me there. That's after all the other things has happened. But I do know, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But look at this. None of these things move me. What things are happening in your life today that would like to move you? None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. I want to finish my course with joy. What did it say? Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, you're going to reap. That's right. If you faint not. I say, Lord, help me. What did it say about Jesus? Who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. We're going to have things come into our life. We sing a lot of songs. We have a lot of songs in our songbook about heaven. I want to keep that forefront in my mind. When things come to me that would like to distract me, ever keep heaven in view. In due season, we're going to reap if we faint not. Talks about endurance in the scriptures. Saw the definition of it, to suffer patiently something that is painful or difficult. To be able to go through that. Talks about enduring hardness as a good soldier. Difficult things that can come into our life. And how will we come out on the other side? Going to have to keep my focus. I was reading of endurance races, and here is one that I saw. An Ironman triathlon. Trying to take endurance to the limit, and who can win the prize. This competition was a 2.3-mile swim. Then you get out and you ride a bike for 112 miles. Then you get off that and you do a 26-mile run. You think you could be weary before you finish that? What does it say? They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Can you imagine? I'd never make the 2.3-mile swim. But I got all these other things. Should I be able to crawl out on the bank and I want to lay there for a while? I said, get up. You've got a 112-mile bike ride to do. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Maybe just a little trophy they can place on the counter. We do it for an incorruptible crown. Be faithful unto death. Think about Paul. After all that he went through, he finished it up with saying, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And I'm glad he didn't say, and I'm the only one that will get it. You know, there's only one person that's going to win that Ironman triathlon. There might have been somebody else came in 3 seconds later and he didn't get it. This one says it's not just for me only. Paul acknowledged to us, it's not for me only. It's for everybody that loves his appearing. It's not just I got this little desire. I want to make heaven my home. No, I'm going to go through some endurance. I'm willing to put up with some things because I want to make heaven my home at the end. I'd like to close with, I'd like for us to look at a song. Because Christian had to get a focus. Here's where I'm headed. You remember when he started running from the city of destruction? He put his fingers in his ears and he cried out, life, life, eternal life. In 2025, I need to be doing the same thing. Did he have a perfect run all the way through? He had trouble from maybe day one. He had many times that he messed up. But I want to tell you, it says something about Jesus for us. Because evangelists came back and met him time after time. Said, maybe corrected him. My son, don't despise the correction of the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Because he wants every one of us to end this with victory. When he fell into the slough of despond. You ever been there? It's pretty easy to fall in it. But what I love about Christian, in every difficulty, he crawled out on the celestial city side and kept on going. That's what I want to encourage us to do tonight. Should we fail in an area? And you know what? You don't have to sin to fail. You can just come short of the grace that God had for me in a trial that I'm going through. Realize Jesus loves us so much. He wants my course to finish up with victory. We have a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. And those did not end with Hebrews 12 and 1. In our lifetime, how many people have we seen that took that scripture, not going to be weary in well-doing, because in due season, I'm going to reap if I faint not. And they took it to the end, and God walked with them. And I say, Lord, help me. I'd like for us to look at song number 363, and I'd like for us to sing it, because it has some questions in it. They're not about me looking at you and wondering, are you going to make heaven your home? What it says is, am I going to wear that bright crown God has offered to me when my life shall have come to a close? You know what? It's all up to me. I can't help what others do. I must keep going on to be able to make heaven my home. It says, when my life shall have come to a close, oh, how happy I'll be when my spirit is free. You know, I think it would be good, and maybe, I guess I've been doing it more in the months than the past, get a good view of heaven. Yes. It's going to be worth everything. Yes. Sister Maxine is still fighting that last fight. But I tell you, it's important for her too, and I believe she's got a view of heaven. We sing that song, Ever Keep Heaven in View. Young people, this that you're seeing of the older ones that are dying off, it just seemed like it's so far away. But I want you to keep heaven in view for yourself. Maybe you will live for another 60 years. But I want to tell you, there's some things that are wanting to trip you up if you take your eyes off the prize and allow it to happen. Because in that scripture that says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. He talks about both sides. They're sowing and reaping for both sides. I want to make heaven my home. I desire your prayers. Maybe 363.